Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I'm your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Go subscribe and get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. We'll get you update to new content, new podcasts that are out on that email list as well. So again, doesn't cost you anything but an email to get that PDF sent out to you. A great little resource refresher if you're out in clinical practice or if you're preparing for pharmacology exams or board exams of any type. So with that, let's get into the drug of the day today. And technically, it's probably not classified as a drug. So today's a little bit of a special episode per request. I've had some dietitians reach out over time, as well as some pharmacy folks, medication folks too, inquiring about grapefruit juice and what to do with it, how to handle it, that type of thing. And while I'll say there certainly isn't one set answer on exactly what to do, there are a lot of potential drug interactions with grapefruit juice. And I wanted to kind of outline how that works and why there is drug interactions, talk about grapefruit juice a little bit specifically, as well as, you know, kind of talking about the dose dependence of grapefruit juice. Also clinical changes, alteration in intake, and then of course, you know, some of the most common drugs that you're going to see. And I'm not going to go through an all-inclusive list. I'm going to, as I typically do with drug interactions, I'm going to go through some of the most common ones that you're actually going to see in clinical practice. So with that said, let's cover a little bit of the basics here. So grapefruit juice causes drug interactions by inhibiting CYP3A4. Now, CYP3A4 is basically an enzyme that breaks down drugs. And in all honesty, it breaks down a lot of drugs that we commonly use. So that's why grapefruit juice is so substantial in some of the interactions it can cause with so many meds, is because it inhibits an enzyme, CYP3A4, that really is the pathway for breakdown of a lot of different drugs, or the primary pathway for breakdown of a lot of different drugs. So ultimately, by grapefruit juice inhibiting this enzyme or blocking it, what's going to happen is drugs that are broken down by this enzyme aren't going to get broken down as quickly. And so concentrations can rise, which ultimately leads to an increased risk of side effects and toxicity. So that's how it all works and why grapefruit juice interacts with things. But I do want to, you know, talk about some clinical caveats. So let's say we've got a patient stabilized, for example, and your patient picks up a new diet, they're making a change, somebody said, oh, grapefruit juice has made me feel so much better, and now all of a sudden they're taking a bunch of grapefruit juice, okay? So that's all well and good, but it's going to interact potentially with medications, and concentrations are going to go up. Now let's say that same patient comes in, they do 2 or 3 glasses of grapefruit juice a day, and all of a sudden you tell them, hey, stop taking that grapefruit juice, it's going to interact with your medications. Well, if it's a sensitive medication to concentrations, and maybe we've stabilized the patient with those concentrations, now all of a sudden taking away grapefruit juice will make those concentrations fall. So depending upon what's going on, you may have to alter dosages, or you may see clinical changes in that patient because they aren't getting as much drug as they used to when they were consistently taking the grapefruit juice. So just really, really important that you, if you are going to recommend a patient stop taking grapefruit juice, that is, that it could cause drug concentrations to fall for certain medications that obviously interact with grapefruit juice. So again, any type of changes and alterations in intake can cause this fluctuation in drugs that interact via the CYP3A4 pathway there. So really, really important to think about that. And as I get into medications, probably one of the most important ones that we want to think about that alteration is a drug like cyclosporin or tacrolimus. Now, these medications are immunosuppressants, often used in transplant patients, used to prevent rejection of a transplant. So it is very, very critical that we keep drug concentrations stable. Okay, and so alterations, whether we stop taking grapefruit juice or start taking it, alterations in that intake could significantly change drug concentrations, and that might lead the patient to a really bad outcome in toxicity. If we started grapefruit juice, if we take grapefruit juice away or make significant changes in intake, that could potentially lead to rejection of the transplant. So again, really, really important to get a handle on if your patient uses grapefruit juice, how much are they using, what their pattern is, that type of thing. If they don't use grapefruit juice and everything is stabilized, that's a good patient to educate them to say, hey, don't use any grapefruit juice. So, and there's a lot of drugs that absolutely, you know, recommend no grapefruit juice and it's contraindicated, that type of thing. But again, when you first meet with a patient, it's definitely important to get that intake down so you kind of know what you're dealing with if you do recommend to stop or make changes that way. Okay, so that's just kind of a little bit of a background with, you know, that example of the immunosuppressant, which can be really, really sensitive to concentration changes and the risk and benefit of going higher and lower with those concentrations. So other medications, let's talk about some of them. So amiodarone, cardiac medication, antiarrhythmic, obviously a pretty significant medication if somebody is using this med, and one that we really wouldn't want to flux concentrations of. So that's an important one, I think, to pay attention to. Reports of an increase of AUC of up to 50%, so that's area under the curve. So basically analogous in a way to drug concentrations, or a way to show drug concentrations, is that AUC calculation. But keep in mind, it's always dose dependent. You know, I mean, it depends upon how much grapefruit juice that we're talking about. If you've got a patient that's starting to do, goes from 0 to 3 glasses a day, that's a much, much bigger deal than a patient who's maybe doing an ounce or two, just kind of a little bit of a taste. So again, important to assess that with patients. Another medication, budesonide. So this is a corticosteroid. Most often I see it used in inflammatory bowel diseases like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. Definitely concentrations can go up with adding grapefruit juice. So obviously we got to keep an eye out for, you know, elevations in blood sugar, maybe worsening insomnia, things like that, that can be indicative of potential acute signs and symptoms of elevated steroid concentrations. Colchicine, used in the management of gout, concentrations can be increased there by adding grapefruit juice. Lurasidone, I don't see it incredibly often, but it's an antipsychotic. Drug concentrations could be raised there, and obviously along with it, a lot of the antipsychotic adverse effects, which I've certainly talked about in previous podcasts. Statins. I mean, statins is probably the most common one you're going to run into. Simvastatin, atorvastatin, both of these drugs can have their concentrations increased. So if I find out a patient has started taking grapefruit juice and they're on a statin, probably the first thing I'm going to ask or inquire about is adverse effects from the statin, and probably, you know, myopathy. Are they having any muscle pain, muscle soreness, that type of thing? And then cyclosporin, tacrolimus, I mentioned those two as well. Again, that's definitely, I would put that up there with amiodarone, where we really don't want to change those drug concentrations too much. We really, really need to emphasize stability there, because obviously increased concentrations, we run that risk of toxicities. And lower concentrations, we run the risk of bad things happening, like a rejection, for example, in the case of a transplant. So those are some of the main drugs I think about kind of when I hear of grapefruit juice, or if I happen to run into a patient that does it. Those are some of the first few that I think of. I do have a few others I want to mention, because I do think about the patient's diagnoses as well. Just understanding that if a patient has a certain diagnosis, they're likely going to be on a certain regimen of medication that may interact with grapefruit juice. So I think about cardiovascular disease and hypertension, so and cardiac issues. So like I mentioned with the amiodarone, if they've got cardiovascular disease, elevated cholesterol, they're going to be using a statin likely, and grapefruit juice is going to interact there. So any type of heart cardiac issues, I'm definitely concerned about grapefruit juice causing some interactions. Some ones I didn't mention previously are some of the calcium channel blockers too. So your diltiazem, verapamil, amlodipine, another one that can potentially interact with grapefruit juice there. Certainly things to think about. Any patient taking immunosuppressive therapy, so a transplant patient, for example, those meds, cyclosporin, tacrolimus, I went through them before, but if I see that diagnosis that somebody's had a transplant, I'm definitely much more concerned about the use of grapefruit juice and trying to prevent that interaction from causing variations in drug concentrations. Anxiety, pain, so some of the benzodiazepines, triazolam, diazepam, they can be impacted by grapefruit juice's action on CYP3A4, causing increased concentrations. An opioid like fentanyl, for example. Also an anti-anxiety medication like buspirone. So anxiety and pain are kind of another couple of diagnoses I think about where grapefruit juice could potentially impact some of the meds that we might use to manage these conditions. And it may be short-term or long-term there. And then other potential, besides anxiety, other potential psych issues, there are more antipsychotics that can have maybe mild to moderate interactions with grapefruit juice. There are some less common, probably antidepressants that can interact with grapefruit juice and concentrations could go up. So those are a few disease states that I kind of think about. In addition to gout as well, I wanted to mention, of course, because I mentioned colchicine previously. So I hope that gives you a little bit of background on grapefruit juice and a little bit of education, and gives you kind of some strategies and things to think about when you approach a patient regarding this drug interaction, because I know I've been asked about the interaction in practice, because patients, they read the pamphlet, for example, and it says absolutely do not use grapefruit juice, and they really want to. So, you know, working with patients, you know, changing drugs that don't interact with grapefruit juice might be a potential option if, you know, that's a deal breaker for a patient because they absolutely want to use grapefruit juice. So hopefully I've kind of given you some strategies, some things to think about in monitoring for the risk of grapefruit juice and its potential to cause drug interactions. All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode today. A little different from kind of the traditional episodes that I've done previously. Obviously, I covered a lot of drugs that interact with grapefruit juice, and I've done a lot of them already in previous podcasts where I discuss drug interactions, adverse effects, and all sorts of other pharmacology nuggets there for you. So if you enjoyed this podcast, leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. If you want to support this podcast, go to meded101.com/store, STORE. If you're a pharmacist, we've got board certification study materials there. If you're a med student, PA, nurse, whoever, looking for more medication education and kind of those real-world clinical practice pearls and real-world application, I've got books on Amazon, books on Audible. And again, all those can be found meded101.com/store, and your support there certainly helps grow this podcast and keep it free and available for all to benefit from. All right, well, I'm going to sign off for today. Track me down on LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS, or Gmail, mededucation101@gmail.com. Feel free to leave comments, suggestions. I do what I can to kind of read every email that I get, and I honestly try to respond to everyone that I get as well. Sometimes it may take me a few days, but I do try to get to all emails certainly that are sent to me there. So with that said, take care. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.